He's spinning, but all right, so we live now. So how's everybody doing? My name is Coach Ken Blocker. I got Coach Rack here. And this is our first episode. What we're going to be doing is talking about camps, combines, recruiting, our camp, things that should be going on, kind of. We ain't going to jam everything into one episode because we got a lot of coaches that we'll be doing this with, but we'll just touch on it. So once again, as Coach Block, what I decided to do was get the guys together and have a camp. And the purpose of having this camp is because in North Carolina right now, due to COVID-19, there's no season. But recruiting and everything is still going on. And so you got a lot of kids that are just kind of sitting dormant that don't have film and haven't really gotten a chance to get in front of some coaches. So with myself and Coach Rack and Coach Washington and Charlotte have sat down and got together and said, we're going to do something for the state and also even for Virginia. I have some Virginia kids that have hit me up about this as well because they're not playing. Right. We're going to have a camp and a combine, actually. And the purpose of it is just to get these guys an opportunity to work in front of some college coaches, work in front of the rankings with Rivals and Prep Red Zone and Carolina Prep. All those guys so that they can create a buzz, because in other cities they're rocking and rolling, and you know, college recruiting isn't going to stop. So we definitely wanted to make sure we brought this opportunity out. So Coach Rack, you want to add to that?
Yeah, man. For me personally, man, it's humbling, because you know, to think about, everybody heard about the pandemic. The pandemic happened, man. Everybody thought literally the world did stop for a second, but it just put it on pause, man. And how I took it was, you know, especially for my senior kids, you know, seniors and juniors coming into this year, that was more so like, man, what we gonna do to help you guys out? And then when me and Coach Block got together, he was like, man, let's try to put this camp together for these kids. And I'm like, man, let's do it. You know what I mean? So for me, it's just a humbling time, because I know these kids need it. And I know they're wanting to be seen, because there's a lot of kids out there that's really, really great, talented, great kids out on and off the field that just haven't had a look yet. Yeah. And us to bring this to the table, man, it makes my heart warm, because it's like, you know, if we just had so many other people to want to do the same thing that we're doing. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good thing, man, a good turnout. Spots will be limited, as we'll get into later on down in the line. But, man, again, man, I'm just excited to be a part of it. I'm excited that we can put our like minds together and just make this thing work for these kids, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you were saying, Coach, the spots will be limited. We'll explain that, not in this post, because I don't want people to start jumping on asking questions specifically about that. But spots will be limited because we got to follow state regulations. The biggest thing is making sure amongst this, we still are aware of the COVID situation and that we are in the middle of a pandemic, but making sure that we are as safe as possible. So that actually takes me and segues into what I'm going to be speaking about next, as far as understanding that this is not a money grab camp. And so what a money grab camp is, where you have a guy or an organization come in and they invite whoever want to come for however many spots, and it's just a million kids on the field. And, you know, your kid fighting for reps and nobody's really paying attention and all that stuff. And that's not one of these camps. You know, we're going to try to limit our numbers as much as possible. We really don't want to exceed 200 kids. And I don't even think legally we might be able to exceed 200 kids. But we're going to have to break it down into position, how many kids per position we can actually accept, to make sure that, you know, we also keep coaches and kids safe during this time. And so what I also want to do, so you guys might be thinking, who the heck is Coach Rack and Coach Block? I am the former coach at Enloe High School. I was there for 3 years, and before Enloe, got the opportunity to coach at Shaw University. And then I'm from Pittsburgh. I've done a lot of different camps in Pittsburgh with the FBU. I was a site manager and regional director, high school player development with the NFL. Was a site manager for that as well. Worked with Nike for years, doing the Sparks training circuit with those guys. Did youth football. So actually, I worked from youth football all the way up to being a D2 college coach at Shaw University. So I've seen it on both sides, you know, and I've gone against this guy that I'm with now when he was at Leesville. So, you know, I got the opportunity to work with him. So I'm going to let him share a little bit about who he is before we bring in our guest.
Yeah, my name is Rainier Radcliffe, for those that don't know me, originally from Jacksonville, Florida area. Been up this way for almost 12 years now, come think about it. I went to Elizabeth City State University, finished up there in 2011, into the draft, didn't get picked up right away, had some workouts with some NFL teams here and there, and then went and played arena ball for a while, a couple years, and not well, 4 or 5 years, really. And then I finished up in 2016, and then my coaching career started in 2017. My 3 years in Wake County coaching, I was with Leesville High, and now I'm the running backs coach over here at Roseville High School now, man. And again, like Coach said, I've been a pillar in the community for a while, such as himself, you know, doing a lot of camps, doing a lot of, you know, training with a lot of kids, a lot of mentor programs and things like that, man. And I just kind of, you know, made my way around this area, man. And I love, you know, I love kids, man. I love making an impact. You know, if I'm not making an impact, I'm not doing my job. So, like Coach said, we battle on the gridiron against each other. Actually, crazy enough, on the high school coaching level, but also when I played at Elizabeth City, when he was at Shaw, we rivaled. So we rivaled on both sides, but now we partnered up, we came together, we make this thing work, man. So that's how the Lord works sometimes. And man, I'm pleased and I'm honored to even be here helping them out, man. We helping each other out on this day to make it worthwhile, man. So,
yeah. Here. Appreciate it, man. So Coach was just saying, one of the things that I wanted to do is also create an avenue for other younger coaches, because getting into the coaching game is very difficult. A lot of people don't understand that getting into this game, you sometimes, unless you got the right connect, you got to just start anywhere you can get in. Like when I first got my opportunity at Shaw University, I literally volunteered by just doing film. And then once Coach seen that I could actually coach, he gave me the opportunity to work defensive backs and then running backs, but I had to volunteer just to get in the front door. So another thing that helped me, though, is having the camps and combines to be able to get in as a younger coach and just get my feet wet and start meeting people. So with that being said, I got a guest coming in, which is going to be working with our quarterbacks. Had the luxury of working with him at Shaw University as a quarterback, and then he ended up transferring to, you know, FAMU. But I'm not going to talk too much about him. I'm gonna just go ahead on and bring him in. Coach Jeffries, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Good to see you, man.
Great. That boy, look, he got the probably ready for his first interview. Neck all straight. Got the FAMU on there.
Yes, sir.
I gotta
represent, man.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. I'm out. I'm popping in here real quick doing this broadcast. Like I said, thank you guys for having me. It's a great honor to be on here to spread awareness about the lab, something that I have brewing here in my hometown. I'm trying to, like you said, trying to build an establishment for these young men here to make sure that they have an avenue to set themselves up for life after football, as well as, you know, the physical attributes, mental training, and everything that comes and accrues with the you know, being a college athlete at the Division I level, Division II level, all the way down to D3 NAIA junior college ball. You know, we're looking to make sure that athletes have that avenue to come and train, not only train like a college athlete, but prepare the mind, like I said, for collegiate athletics as well as life after sports. So that's a big thing here in North Carolina. I actually have a quarterback class coming up at 6 o'clock. So I'm going to be in here, you know, give this knowledge and speak with you guys. And then I'm right out the door going to coach my guys. So
So tell us a little bit about, you know, where you came from as far as just Raleigh, North Carolina, man, because when I met you in Shaw, they had told me that you was the man at Gardner High School. I had to actually look up some of your stats, found out you was really the man. So tell me a little bit about your high school and then how that had that transitioned into your recruiting, man.
So, you know, I played Gardner football. I grew up in Gardner High School, grew up through Gardner's Pop Warner League and played at North Gardner. Eventually ended up at Gardner High School, played under Coach Smith, Coach Leach, and all those guys. You know, great coaching staff, a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge with those fellas. And I was, you know, fortunate to be a part of such a great team. you know, and thank you, you know, for putting the stats out there. I did accomplish quite a bit of things there, but it wasn't me by myself. You know, it was done as a collective. I had a great O-line. I had a group of guys that I grew up with. We all grew up through the same system, all played together. And it just so happened that junior and senior year, we all came together. You know, we all had one mind, one heart, one beat. And we made some things happen, ended up making a state championship run. The first, I think, since Garner in 1978, I want to say. I'm not sure. Maybe 2005. Okay. I think they went before that. But it was a huge accomplishment. We ended up falling short. We didn't come through with it. But, you know, that's something that still triggers me to this day. So, you know, I'm trying to make sure that this next generation of these group of guys that, you know, are coming through that system, I want them to make sure that they have an opportunity to do the same. So, yeah, man, I played at Garner. From Garner, I went. The recruiting path was a little bit harder for me, you know, in a system where it's pro right, 280 sweep, belly yeah. trap, yeah. play action, throw the ball, you know, heavy
yeah.
run.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily a quarterback system. At the time, I wasn't aware. You know, these are things that I'm playing high school football. We're winning games. I'm not asking these questions.
Right.
I'm not looking at it from an outside perspective saying, okay, how am I setting this young man's career up as a quarterback?
Yeah.
As well as how am I going to get him the next opportunity for him to project himself up to the Division I level?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was just playing football. I didn't really. I wouldn't say I didn't care. I didn't know, and you know, I didn't have anybody that was kind of that backbone or that coach that was saying, "Listen, son, grades." And you know, that's something I stress to my athletes all the time now is that
yes, sir.
Those big Division I offers, they're not coming without grades. You know, there's something that you can do as an athlete. If you have a 2.8 GPA and you're a great athlete, you're a phenomenal kid, four-star talent, there's another kid with a 3.5 and he's mid-borderline around the same athletic ability as you, they're going to go with that kid nine times
yes,
out
sir.
Of 10 just because they know they understand he's not a liability outside the football field in the classroom.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, just being a complete recruit, being a complete guy, you know, handling myself like that. I wasn't aware of that at that time. And that's no fault to anybody else. You know, football is always evolving. You know, how they're recruiting these days is always evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I ended up going to Shaw University. I went to Shaw University on scholarship. I was there playing under Coach Robert Massey. And, you know, it was a great experience. Now, I honestly say, you know, it was kind of the same situation. I got to Shaw University and still wasn't, I never really understood how to read a defense. And this is something that, you know, I hardly tell people that to this day. In high school, I didn't know how to read a defense. I didn't know what cover two was from cover three, from cover one, cover
right.
four, and so on. I just, you know, went out there, threw the drop back, throw the ball to my guy.
Wasn't yeah.
sure of what, you know, I was looking at as a pre and a post-snap read, but I wasn't taught that. So I ended up leaving Shaw University. I knew I wanted to be a Division I quarterback. You know, that was something that I had prayed about. And I made the decision to bounce back to Santa Rosa Junior College to be recruited. While I was out there, we went 8-3, won a Modesto North State Bowl game. From there, I was offered a full ride to go play at FAMU. So, you know, I went and done, went to California, had a good solid year, put some nice stats up, ended up going back to Black College, which was a stigma at first. And I was saying, you know, well, I just left Shaw University and, man, if, you know, if that's how Black colleges ran, I don't know if I want to go back to a Black college. So
yeah,
it was a
yeah.
stigma in my head. And, you know, I love Shaw University and, you know, I'm wishing and I'm hoping that, you know, they get back on their feet because I think it's such a prime location where Shaw is. And there's so much rich yeah. history and tradition in Shaw University, St. Aug as well. But more so Shaw, I'm going to be a little bit more biased towards Shaw because I was a Bear
yeah.
at one point. But
yeah.
You know, I was like, I don't know if I want to play at another historically Black college. So I get the offer from FAM. I pray on it. I end up going. I get out to FAMU and I'm like, wow, you know, this is really what historically Black college is all about. I got to learn a little bit more about myself. I came engulfed in the culture and I'm in the culture there, as well as, you know, the facilities were better. The weight room was better. The locker room was better. Now, you know, I had coaches with experience from, you know, NFL. Coach Alex Wood, who was my head coach while I was at FAMU, was evaluating Tom Brady at his NFL combine. So a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom in different areas. Great group of guys. Unfortunately, my tenure at FAMU, I learned a different approach to football. And I say that only because my 2 years there after my junior college season, where I was projected to come in and start, I ended up having to learn how to take the backseat approach, being that guy that prepares the starter. And it wasn't something I was comfortable with. I'm a competitor. Always, you know, always, I want to be the guy for myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, the coaches had other, he had another scenario going on. This was his thing. And, you know, that you, there's times in life where you can control what you can control. You can't control anything else outside of what you can control. So I had to make sure I was making sure I was in the weight room extra, on the field, working with my receivers, doing all the extra things necessary to make sure I'm projecting myself in the right position so that when my number is called, I'm ready to go. And I'm not now, you know, bashing the coaches and saying this and saying that. And then when my number's called, I go out and poop a brick. So I made sure I was always prepared. I trained like the starter. I ended up playing. I got my first start versus University of Arkansas on national television. That was a really good game. It was first time FAMU had scored versus an FBS SEC opponent in 7 years. So that was an accomplishment. I mean, we ended up getting beat down, and but you know, it was a big accomplishment for myself to get on the board, not turn the ball over, and you know, that kind of served as the basis as well as the fundamentals and hard work that I had put in during this time while I was in the backseat. You know, like I said, that was huge for me, is making sure I was focusing in. And not taking that as an approach to say, you know what, these coaches don't know what they're doing. I'm supposed to be the man. I had to say, you know what, there's something that the coaches may see that I may not be ready, that they think. So while I'm in this position, let me make sure that I'm setting myself up for life after football. And that's the biggest thing with, you know, finishing with my degree. I ended up being blessed, man. After I graduated from FAMU, I kept working. And, you know, I ended up getting my first pro shot with the Canadian Football League with the Edmonton Eskimos. Dave Turner was the director of player personnel for the Carolina Panthers. He ended up recruiting me. I brought me out to camp. I excelled in camp, had a good camp. You know, they signed my rights away. I ended up getting released in later August. But, you know, that was a really eye-opening situation for myself to say, you know, this is where I've came from. This has been my story, the underdog story, where, you know, I didn't know how to read a defense coming out of school. I wasn't highly recruited. Not that the talent wasn't there, but I also didn't know the necessary steps to, you know, project myself in the best way possible to set myself up to play professional football. So it was a lot of adversity, but, you know, adversity kind of defines your character and builds you to who you are. And, you know, the Lord has other plans for me. And, you know, I'm excited about working with the youth. Like I said, I'm training quarterbacks. I train wide receivers, DBs, guys of all positions. You know, I go over film with them. I break down coverage. So these are the things that I'm working on with these kids, are the things that I wasn't taught when I was in high school. That I didn't have a coach on the side telling me how to read a post-snap read or a pre-snap read, seeing the safety move from here to here. What is he doing? You know, so now I'm making sure that these athletes that are young, they're learning the game at faster rates.
Yeah.
They have 7-on-7 that's year-round now. So these kids, they're essentially grooming themselves to be recruited for these Division I programs. And if you don't have the knowledge, it's not to say that you can't acquire the knowledge, but God, you know, coaches are looking for guys now at this age who are one step ahead of the game.
Yeah.
They're 15, but they have the knowledge of a 17, 18-year-old kid.
And not just be ready made
from a maturity level, but from the aspect of the game. They want to see kids who are fully enthralled in the game. Okay, what is he doing while he's off the field? You know,
yes,
is he a guy that's working hard in the weight room? Is he to practice 5 minutes early? Is he the last one off? How does he act in his community? How is he acting in the classroom? Is he a class clown? Is he a guy who sits in the front, very attentive, has his notes? So these are guys that I'm trying to build and, you know, show them the right way, because I know them. You know, essentially, I have the blueprint. So I tell myself that all the time. I pray about it. I say, you know, Lord, I have the blueprint and I have the know-how to get these fellas in the right way and steer them in the right direction. I just ask for guidance and, you know, strength to make sure that I'm leading by example, because a lot of people.
Everything you said was exactly what I would say. Extremely loaded conversation, because there were some things in there. I had to take some bullet points and act like I wasn't writing down notes while you were talking, because there was things I want to shoot at you and Coach Rack. First of all, just about the experience as being an athlete where you're gifted, you're talented, you're gifted. In high school, at a lot of high school coaches, and I know that, you know, they may not like me saying this, but a lot of them just take that for granted, and you don't really go into college learning your position. You know, football. Like, I was a running back. I would get the ball. They would tell me run the daylight, and then that was it. Like, right, so understanding what I'm looking for, it was just find a hole and run. So with you, Coach Rack, if you could just, you know, elaborate on the point of just, because all three of us are in this situation now where we're trying to take these young men and mold their mind, because we understand once you get to college, if you're not ready to go, you're going to sit for a while. You know what I mean? Because jobs are on the line as far as the coaches.
Right.
And that nurturing, a lot of people don't understand. Sometimes that nurturing has to happen almost now when you're about ninth, 10th grade. You got to be ready to have a different level of understanding. But I'll let y'all elaborate on that. Coach Ray?
For me personally, man, it's like you said, coaches, is one of those situations where I play running back myself as well. And in high school, I was forced to have some great backs in front of me. So, I mean, I was a guy who played varsity as a freshman. So my cousin Leon Washington was a senior. So I'm watching him, and our running back coach was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But me being a young buck, I just think, okay, I can bounce to the outside, I'm scoring. Or whatever. I use my speed to my advantage. And then the more I grew, the more I learned, I'm like, okay, this can't happen like this.
Yeah.
But fast forward, I think I'm a better coach than I was a player. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning because now I can help shape and mold a lot of these young kids. Play running back, don't play running back. Just from an impactful standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
To teach them, like, look, don't put all your apples in a bunch on one coach.
Mm-hmm.
Sell yourself. You know how to sell yourself. That's why I tell my guys, like, yeah, you want offers, you want something to happen, but what are you for yourself?
Yeah.
Are you emailing these guys? Are you finding the databases of, you know, from a professional level, you know? Because, I mean, like you say, Vince, like, I went to Elizabeth City. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't have that support like I thought I would coming out of the college. But at the same time, like, I took the months myself to say, okay, this is what I need to do to reach these guys and try to get myself noticed, which I did. I was fortunate enough to get noticed. But just to piggyback off to these kids, is like, from a coaching perspective, because a lot of coaches ain't going to keep it real. We just know that. It's sad to say, but once you get out of high school, you're done. You're just another number now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, for me personally, every kid who I coach, train, or whatever, to this day, I still have a relationship with, some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And like I tell them, I say, I'm not trying to teach you how to be the best friend of mine. I'm teaching you how to be the best man. The best husband, the best father, the best friend, the best business worker across the board. Because at some point in life, football will be. But how I'm helping you build your life after football. Just like you said, it's like the lab. You know what I mean? Life after ball. Or whatever the lab may made for you. But for me, life after ball. How I'm preparing myself, helping these kids for their stuff, life after ball.
Yeah.
And that's to be the platform that we are right now, man, it is vital. You know what I mean? And like we said, Lord know what he's doing, you know,
So, I got a question for both of you guys. And Jeffers, you can take this one first if you want, because just elaborate on it more. We all had a touch at HBCU. I went to Winston-Salem, and then my experience from HBCU was they don't have the money all the time, like some of our predominantly white. So when I got down there, it was like the money is dry and you're not a main guy on the football field. So either you come up with the loot on your own or you go back home.
Right.
I had to go back home. And so we each have had a touch of HBCU life. And, you know, I'll just elaborate on mine real quick and you guys can elaborate on yours, because now the push in our community is send your kids to HBCU, send your kids to HBCU. And I personally say send your kids where they're going to be the most comfortable, because mental side of being a student athlete, it just ain't about being around black people, being around white people. It's just being around comfort, because when you get back in your dorm room, it don't matter who's on campus, you still got to get your mental
right.
You know what I mean? So if you can elaborate on it, because my HBCU experience, I loved it socially. And Winston-Salem isn't the Winston-Salem that it is now.
Right.
So
when I
got there, I started looking at equipment like, hey, man, I had better equipment in high school. You know what I mean? But you know, they had, they gradually got to the point where now Winston-Salem is one of the schools where I say I'll push kids to Winston, right. You know what I mean? But also, you know, the financial piece, there's a lot of different pieces just that go into, you know, knowing what school you want to go to, whether it's a predominantly white or HBCU. But, you know, Jeffries, I'll let you, I know you got to get ready to split pretty soon. If you
can go
ahead and elaborate just on your experience, because you've had not one but two HBU experience.
Right. So, like I said, right out the gate, when I got to Shaw University, very way smaller school than FAMU. You know, it's a private institution. FAMU is a public black college. But Shaw, like you said, the funding for black colleges isn't there like it is for our, you know, our counterparts at the PWIs. And that comes sometimes with, you know, just money that's coming into the school. Their programs aren't as funded. You know, we may be fighting at Shaw to get the football field mowed two times a week at practice. And over there across the street at NC State,
they got it all, baby.
Gatorade. So, you know, it's very different situations, you know. And I think we look at this we look at this quite a lot. It's a quite interesting diaspora. You know, we come from a place where we're like, you know what, we need to go. And it really, it truly, honestly, it's aggravating to think like this. But we have to understand, you know, you have to, being a black man in America, especially in the South, you have to understand how to be able to read the room, understand how you can get to where you want to go, and understand, you know, you may have to deviate from your course. And, you know, you have to play the game sometimes. So, you know, in order to set yourself up in this world, it shows, and with numbers and everything, it looks like, you know, well, I have to go to NC State, or I have to go to Duke University or University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, somewhere where it's, they have a, you know, a great sense of notoriety there, a lot of great alumni from there. And, you know, it looks good on my resume. I graduated top of my class at Carolina. But, you know, what about if you go down to Florida A&M or you go down to North Carolina A&T? And you graduate top of your class there. I think we need more of a following to black colleges. I am very pro black college and sending our guys back to black college, because at one point, you guys remember, you know, Bear Bryant didn't want us to play at Alabama.
Right. So
now that they have accumulated this strong sense of, you know, black leadership at these PWIs, if you look at it, you take the majority of us away from these black from these PWIs, you look at their football team. They are 70 to 80% African American males.
Yeah.
Now, if we can funnel those back into our institutions, then that's when the money starts to come back in, because now people are watching. Okay, yeah. What's FAMU got going on down there? They just beat University of Miami. Let me tune in and let me see what FAMU is doing. So I think, you know, with the following, then becomes, you know, then the money comes in after that. And that's, you know, that's the hump that a lot of Division I black colleges are trying to break over. I just saw, you know, North Carolina A&T ended up leaving the MEAC and they're going over to the Big South. FAMU just left the MEAC and we're heading over to the SWAC. So I think, you know, it stinks to say, you know, the MEAC is dying. I feel like a lot of teams are starting to branch elsewhere and go elsewhere. And you know, it sucks to see, you know, a black college conference diminish. But when I look at it from the large scope of things, we want to be able to compete on a larger stage. So that we can bring in that larger audience, that'll bring in a more influx of money, that'll be able to fund our football team. That now we don't have to worry about the grass being cut, because we're looking, we're trying to buy land to make sure that we have a field to play on.
Yeah, so we get that TV money, those TV contracts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man. It's a lot of factors that go into it. But you know, I think we're very compassionate people, very strong people, and we know how to project ourselves forward. We just have a lot of love for everybody, but. You know, I'm not saying, you know, that we don't need to go to NC State. Essentially, I would hope that we could get to a day where, you know, we have those five-star recruits saying, you know what, I'm going to FAMU, or I'm going to North Carolina A&T. Come on, brother, come on with me. You know, you get the other four-star, five-star recruit. Let's go over here. Let's make black college great again. So I love to see that, man. But like I said, I understand the system that we're in, and we have to utilize. We have to be able to use football and not let football use us. If you get
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, man, I wanted to drop that quick little knowledge dot in there real quick.
Yeah, hey.
Like I said, man, I'm gonna go ahead and get up out of here. You know, it was a pleasure to be in here. I just wanted to say that real quick. Like I said, I'm about to go ahead over here. I got a quarterback class from 6 to 7:30 tonight over there at Thompson Road Park in Garner. So gotcha. For anybody watching this, go ahead, you know, add me on Facebook, shoot me a message. We do group training, specialized one-on-one training, position-specific training. We teach film, coverage breakdown. And, you know, we're trying to run things super professional and, you know, build a sense of a hot spot here in North Carolina in the Triangle area where recruits can come in and say, you know what, well, these guys here, they know what they're talking about. So let me come down and let me see this First and Goal podcast. Let me hear what they got brewing down in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I think, you know, once we get a greater audience, I'm excited for the camp, man. I know it's going to be a great turnout. Going to have a lot of talented guys there, a lot of talented coaches with wisdom, with knowledge, an extensive background in coaching careers, and guys like myself trying to look to get into their coaching career. So, Coach, thank you again for, you know, having
no
me
problem,
on
man.
Coach Rack, man, I appreciate you fellas extending the opportunity for me to come on to your podcast, feature me on the podcast, and, you know, let me do a little bit of talking for a little bit.
No problem. Just make sure, go ahead and shoot it out one more time as far as like your Twitter, your IG, and all that, so everybody knows how to get in contact with you.
I will.
No, say it now, man.
Go say it. Yeah.
Oh, so listen, y'all go ahead and follow me on Instagram at The Lab Sports Performance. Instagram, Facebook is the same, The Lab Sports Performance, or shoot me a message on Facebook. My name is just Vincent Jeffries. Coach Block, I've shared his post, so if you go through there, you see the likes, you'll see my name. Just like I said, feel free to reach out to me, any position, any sport. We have collegiate training in baseball, football, volleyball, basketball, and softball. So this is a family-owned business. My older sister takes care of softball. My younger sister takes care of volleyball and soccer, and I take care of baseball, football, and basketball. So like I said, reach out to us. We got something special brewing here in the Triangle, and you know, I look forward to working with each and every one of you.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. Let me let you get out of here so you can go make that money.
Yes,
anybody wants to get in contact with Coach Jeffries, please do. This will also be recorded. So if there are questions or any other information that you want to ask him, you can shoot it in the comment section once we post this up, and I'll make sure he gets it. And if you want to see him at the camp, guess what? Register. So appreciate you for coming. And me and Coach Rack gonna keep talking for a minute, man. But stay up. All right.
Oh, no, appreciate it, Coach. I'll see
all
you
right, bro.
Soon.
All right now. So Coach Rack, once again, everybody, that was Coach Jeffries. One of the good young men. You know what I mean? Like I said, I want to get young coaches the opportunity to be able to, you know, speak on their brand, speak on their experience, also get a chance to get their feet wet in this coaching game. But I also want to jump back into just the HBCU experience, because that's a huge thing right now in our community. And I want you to be able to tell your experience attending the HBCU, because, you know, we did it. So, you know, we want to make sure people have a well-rounded opinion in reference to the HBCU experience, because I do think it's important, but I don't think it's more important than making sure you're comfortable, no matter if it's a HBCU or predominantly white institution.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, now I tell kids, I just be real with them, and I tell them, you want to be a big fish in a small pond, or a small fish in a big pond. And a lot of times, a lot of kids, you know, nothing against the Power Five schools or such, and a lot of things like that. We all have opportunities to, you know, be recruited by them, or visit there, and have relationships with people at these institutions. But the thing is, a lot of kids get lost in the sauce, and a lot of times they get lost in the sauce because it's the glitz and glamour about the, you know, the recruiting thing. And again, like I tell kids all the time, like, the recruiting is supposed, that's the whipped cream on top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's good, but when you get to the bottom, when you get to the pit of it, now you're grinding. When they get in, hey, you know, and like I tell, I share this story a lot. I tell kids all the time that my freshman year in college, I was ready to quit. You know what I mean? Because I went to Georgia Military College. I went to a JUCO my first year.
Okay.
And coming out of high school, I didn't take care of what I had to take care of as far as my grades. So I had to take a different route. And went to JUCO, then went to NAIA school. My mom got sick, took a couple years off to help her out. And then I transferred to Elizabeth City. So, I mean, I went to three schools before I finished playing ball, And when I went to Elizabeth City, man, it was a culture shock for me, because I never thought I would be a part of an HBCU experience. And my coach in high school, Coach Kevin Sullivan, always spoke about, you know, he wished more kids would go back to the HBCUs, you know, and I'm just being honest when I say this, my coach was a white coach. I mean, I still talk to him to this day. He's like a mentor to me. And said it all the times, like he just wished that more people would be invested with the HBCUs, man. And when I got there, man, it was a culture shock for me because I'm like, okay, one, that's the environment, you know, being on campus with like-minded people of color. I'm just being honest, it was different. And I went to one smaller HBCU in Elizabeth City State University, but it still was a well-renowned name. And now I never changed it. You know, I had some great coaches, Coach Waverly Tiller, Coach Aaron Parker, just to name a few, man, some great guys I played with. And I was put up with a situation when you come talk about the financial side of it, I didn't get a full ride when I went to Elizabeth City my first year. So I had to pocket and pay, you know what I mean? I had to get on the Sallie Mae plan, the payment plan, whatever.
Yeah,
but I did it, you know. Yeah. And I was, because I knew for me personally, if I didn't stay in school, I was gonna go down the wrong road, and I didn't want that.
Yeah.
And coming to my senior season, that it was another roadblock in the road. I had to pay from that Sallie Mae loan. I had to pay almost $10,000 back to go back to school, and some family members and myself, we got back home. I'm like, look, man, this is what's going on.
Yeah, here's the business side.
Like, I had to take the semester off because I was at that 10th semester mark. So if I would have went to school that spring semester going to my senior year, I would have been eligible. So I took that spring semester off to raise the money up and get the money up to go back. And man, I paid $10,000 cash. You know what I mean? And to look back at it, and then even after the senior season was over with, I still, because it was a situation then that at the HBCU where at Elizabeth City, that they had to take some of the money back from the guys that wasn't graduating in that fall year. Mm-hmm. So I graduated that spring year, but I didn't have the money to say, okay, I'm about to pay another $10,000, $12,000 to go back to school. I can't do it. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, you know, me trying to go to the NFL or whatever, the role was different on that regard. But make a long story short is, you got to take care of what you got to take care of wise in front of you, because a lot of people look back at it now like, dang, I should have, could have, would have, but when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And the thing with the resources with HBCUs, man, a lot of people just, they bypass the HBCU thing for whatever reason. And like even me and myself and a few other guys from Elizabeth City, we came together. We started what's called a Ship to Ship program, where the former guys from the Elizabeth City, we started a scholarship fund. So we can help the kids that coming in or that's already in the program, football only, to help them with like the room and board when they travel to go to play Virginia State, cleats, fly back home. When I was in college, we had guys playing with me that was from California and from Hawaii, you know what I mean?
They can't get back home
because they don't have the money.
Yeah, they can't get back.
So we came up with that, man. Me and seven other guys, we came together, man. We tried to figure out what we can do to help these guys out, man. So we've been keeping that going, man. And, you know, our goal every year is to at least to raise up at least 25,000 to 20,000 a year, you know what I mean? To keep going so we can help these kids out because they need it, man. You know, because we can't always rely on the school to do their part, and we're not doing our part as alumni.
Right. You know what I mean,
that's the biggest part for us, just to make sure we're doing what we need to do on our end to help.
Let me ask you this, Coach, because I got my theory on it. When you hear a kid say something like, "My coach is rocking me, and I ain't getting no love," or you know, you hear parents say, you know, "Hey, man, I don't know. I feel like it's personal against my kid." Some things that I say to do is you got to start working on other avenues. Like, for example, your grade point average, your community work, making sure, you know, that everything around you as a player can kind of cause a college to look at more than who you are on the field.
Right.
So who you are on the field and who you are on the field, you know, you get a little bit more benefit of the doubt, you know what I mean, when it comes down to college recruiting, you know? And so I just want to see or hear your point of view of what you may, you know, preach to the players that you deal with when they feel like they're not getting their just due or getting a fair shot Like, so what do you, how do you tell them to overcome that?
I tell them, no, help me help you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Coach Rack, they come to me a lot of times, Coach Rack, man, I don't got no looks, man. What's going on? You know, a lot of people, I say, okay, what are you doing mm-hmm. on the back end? Because on the front end, I'm going to reach out to these coaches I know personally, and they go ask me, okay, have you to the ACT school? Have you to the SAT school? What's the GPA like? You know, things like that, stuff that I personally, transparently, didn't take care of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like me knowing that now, I would never let a kid go down that same road. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But again, I'm gonna put you in. I'm gonna put you in the line to help yourself out. But how are you gonna help yourself first? Mm-hmm. And a lot of kids haven't, like, even, you know, they have PSAT in way in ninth grade, I believe, mm-hmm. have PSAT in the ninth grade. So there's no excuses for kids not to have their ducks in a row in a sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I just tell them, man, make sure that they know and they understand how the clearinghouse work. They understand how recruiter work. Make sure they fill it out, the questionnaires they get in the mail and stuff like that.
Please fill out the questionnaires.
Yes, please. To make yourself relevant, man. Do some community service stuff. I mean, I do a lot of stuff in the community. And I have guys every spring, every summer coming to me, Coach Rack, can I do 50, I make it mandatory for my guys to do at least 15 community service hours either spring or summer, so they can make sure that they can put it on their resume. Because now they feel like, a lot of high school kids, man, they feel like they, the only time you got a resume is when you go to college. No, you build your resume now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Build your resume now so it can take part and take root. So when you get in college, now you're seeing the harvest. You know what I'm saying? Now you're building this all the way through.
What you saying that, Coach? I'm saying this personally as a head coach, former head coach, all that. If you wait until your junior and senior year, it's too late.
Too late.
I don't know how many people I have to tell and how many kids I see just hurt because they don't take it seriously until probably the summer going into their senior year.
Yep.
If you wait that long, I'm looking directly into the camera. If you wait that long, you have to start this and have an understanding of this. And this is why we're doing this camp. People ask, well, what grades are you taking? I say 9 through 12. And the reason why is because a lot of coaches are looking at 9th graders. I know you might in your mind say, you got to be kidding me. But there are schools who want to see the development of players early through the years. So, for example, everybody, Nick Saban is one of the guys that I idolize. Nick Saban literally asked for film from 9th grade all the way up before he makes a final decision on a player. So I need parents to understand, jump on it at 9th grade, the summer of the 8th grade going into 9th grade, start developing a plan. I'm not saying you need to know exactly what you want your child to do, but you should start developing a plan as far as having the proper classes taken in high school, making sure that, you know, we're doing some extracurricular things outside of school, outside of sports, right? Because you want to be as well-rounded as possible, because people think there's just a little wand that you wave and then boom, there's a offer. Nope. And I try to give people this example. Hamilton Moore, one of my running backs, you guys, if you don't know him and you're watching this and you don't know who Hamilton Moore is, you can Google his name. He had a 4.25 GPA. He had over 2,000 yards rushing his senior year, over 20 touchdowns, played offense and defense, led the team in both all conference, all area, and had one in-state offer. Duke didn't give him one. UNC didn't give him one. NC State didn't give him one. As a matter of fact, Duke told him he can be a preferred walk-on. But he had all the tangibles down. But his grade point average is what saved him and what he's done from his freshman year to his senior year, to where he was able to say, well, screw it, and ended up getting an opportunity to go Ivy League. But if he had not handled his academic side and everything else that goes along with that, Lord knows what would have happened if he would have just banked on waiting his senior year to try to get recruited. You gotta do this stuff from 9th grade all the way through. So, you know, I ain't mean to cut you off, Coach Rack, in reference to that.
No, no, hey, that's important.
That's to know.
Important, man. And, you know, and even to piggyback off that too, like, Coach, you know, as we both are high school coaches, and the thing is, like, it never bothers me, but at the same time, I never had the ability yet to be a varsity head coach yet, you know what I mean, thus far. But at the same time, it's as a player and as a parent too, is okay, what kind of question are you asking the coach? Because sometimes coach may not know how, he may or may not know how all the times how recruitment may work. You know what I mean? Or sometimes the coach may not want you to know certain things in regard to recruiting because they want you to get the big head, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, but you got to educate yourself. You know what I mean? That's why it's if you're a freshman, talk to a sophomore. If you're a sophomore, talk to a junior. If you're a junior, talk to the senior, because they all went through this process. You know what I mean? They all went through the process, but it's how you going to take the next step to try to get better and not to wait on somebody and say, okay, now it's time to do this. You got to make sure that you take care of yourself before somebody trying to take care of you. So, vital.
I have a little nugget about the camp. With this camp for the parents, there's a huge piece for the parents. And I just want to make sure before I overcommit, but we're going to make sure that you guys have information in y'all hands or in your email to where you can navigate this process from wherever you may be. So, for example, if you register for the camp and you are a sophomore, a parent of a sophomore, I have a checklist that you should do from sophomore year where you can just check off each little mark so that each year you're aware and you're in line for what you need to do, because it can be very overwhelming when you hear, Mom, I got an offer. And next thing you know, you start talking to that coach and he's saying, I need this. I need a transcript. I need this. Do you have, and they need it now. Right. So anybody who's interested in having the child be recruited, get a copy of your transcript, keep one from year to year. Make sure you have a copy of your transcript unofficial on deck, because right after the coach talks about their interest, as far as the athletic ability, the very next question to a high school coach is, do you have his transcript? And the reason why is because the first thing these guys have to do is take the information that they have collected. So this is a little insight. I'm going to let y'all know as a head coach and as a college coach. So as a head coach, I got to make sure I provide transcripts and make sure all the information on the high school level is done. Now, some coaches, because it's not, you guys may think it's our job, but it's technically not our job to recruit players. You may think it is, but it's not. Your job is to make sure you secure everything inside of high school and make sure everything is good in the school. But as far as the next level, some coaches do, some coaches don't. So it's better that you have an understanding and you can navigate your process on your own. Number one, have that transcript. And make sure you're ready on your side. Now, on the flip side, as a college coach, what he does is he got a little pencil and paper, and he got a folder with your son's name on it, and he sits in a room and he puts up the highlight tape, and all the coaches debate on whether or not your son is somebody they should look at. And then after they cut off the highlight tape, the next question the coach asks is, do you have his transcript? And if that coach or that recruiter who is recruiting your son does not have that transcript or a report card, I'm sorry to tell you, unless he is a absolute stud, they move on to the next person. It's a cold business. I wish I had pictures of what it looked like, because we all sit at a nice little table and cut that film on. And then after it's over, coach, first question the head coach is going to ask, you got the transcript? Because we're talking money. And if that recruiter says, no, I don't have his transcript, if the coach likes him, he may give the recruiter an opportunity to go get it. And he'll say, okay, well, you know, get that to me in the next couple of days. If it doesn't come and you notice all of a sudden schools are starting to get cold and you're not hearing as much, it's because they've decided to move on, because when they are ready, you got to make sure you got everything to hand over and get that going. And I don't want any parent to miss that opportunity or any player to miss that opportunity, because it's not right. So then that's the player's side or the parent's side. The player, you got to make sure what's on that transcript is legit and works, meaning your grades are so important. You know, a huge part of first and goal is, I'll give you guys a little bit of insight of this, and then Coach can jump in on it too. I call it first and goal for a specific reason. So Nick Saban, a coach that I idolize, he has a book that says it's fourth and goal. And he said everybody should work like it's fourth and goal. And fourth and goal is because it's an emergency. You got to score because you're on the goal line and you got to score. But I say back up and you should work like it's first and goal, meaning you got four opportunities to get into the end zone. Now, how you look at those four opportunities is up to you, but you have four opportunities to get into the end zone. And you may have setbacks and things like that, no different than scoring, but you still have to keep the goal in mind. Once you get into, for parents out there, once you get into the first and goal, you can't get a first down again. So that means wherever I'm at on this field, even if I get a setback or a penalty, I got to score. So that's why I say first and goal. It's built on desire, commitment, discipline, and consistency. Those are your four downs to success. Kids, you got to have that if you're watching. Parents, you got to help enforce it, because as a high school coach, you may or may not get a guy, and I'm not knocking any coach who doesn't recruit, because Lord knows now that I know what I know sitting in this seat, I'm just now starting to get my beard to grow back in. Just now, you know what I mean? Because the stress that you have underneath that is a lot. And, you know, so I just want to make sure guys understand, you know, that. And then also one piece, and I'm going to let Coach Rack speak on this piece, because he, like myself and Enlo, we were guys that kind of navigated the hallways. The other piece is the behavior piece. That's a huge piece, you know what I mean, that you guys got to make sure you guys have down pat. And parents, know a little bit of your kid when they are not in your presence, because sometimes, you know, these young men, you know, they do their thing when they get inside of the school building. But that also is a reflection, because some schools ask for letter of references from other teachers and also administration. So, you know, before we get out of here, I'm going to let Coach Rack just speak on that part, too, is just as far as, you know, the behavior and the relationships that you build outside of the game.
It's a term I use that I heard actually from Coach Derrick Jones from Duke years ago. You never know when you've been interviewed, man. You never know when you, that's in life, you know. Your character is what you doing when nobody's watching you. And that's something I hold on to since I was way back playing part one of football. And you know, the thing is like, I never was a, you know, a rah-rah type of guy, nothing like that, but I never was a straight arrow guy either. So it's like, what are you gonna do when adversity comes? What are you gonna do when it's getting tight, that you know that, okay, if I just try to go buck the system, then I'm gonna get outside the lines a little bit, but it's okay for me to get outside the line but get back home. No, it don't work like that. You know, now it's, when the first thing as a coach come to you, even from a professional standpoint, no over-exaggeration. I had a scout came look at me when I was in Elizabeth City. This guy asked me stuff and had information from me way back in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like, what are you doing when you're being interviewed? You never know when you're being interviewed. So that's in the community, that's in the hallways, that's on the field, off the field. What are you doing? And, you know, the thing is about relationships. If somebody can tell you, yeah, Coach Rat, that's a good guy. Coach Block, that's a great guy. You know what I mean? And if they say that, and you know that you're doing everything you have to do to make sure that you're doing the best on your ability, that's it, man. Because like Coach Block said, we be in the hallways with these kids. We kind of with the group at Enlo and at Leesville, in the sense of trying to, you know, be that facilitator. You know what I mean? Because a lot of kids won't go to everybody. A lot of coaches don't have that aura on their lives to say kids will gravitate to. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but, you know, when you have those type of people around you, just make sure that you're doing the best from your end to the key to those relationships, man, because your behavior and what you're doing outside the ball, that's vital. I mean, you can't get that back. Because now, how can you explain that later on in life when you do have a family? And how can you explain that to your son when your son was like, "Dad, you did it in high school." How can you explain? You know what I mean? So that's what it really boils down to, man. Just make sure you do what you gotta do on outside the lines as well.
Sounds good. So we've been talking now for close to about an hour, and I know me and Coach Rack will probably keep going and going, and as long as y'all listen, I want to go ahead and give this a close. So everything is down at the bottom, scrolling as y'all can see. First and Goal 365. The only one that's not First and Goal 365 on is Facebook. So Facebook, you can follow our page at First and Goal. For IG is First and Goal 365. And for Twitter is First and Goal 365. And we'll be coming back, having more coaches on. This will be all leading up all the way to the camp. And if you like it, we'll continue it even after the camp. And for me, you can follow me on everything is just Coach Block. Anything, all my social media is Coach Block, and my email is CoachKenBlocker@gmail.com. Coach Rack, how can people get in contact with you?
On Instagram, it's RRackley9, RRACKLEY9. And the same as on Twitter, RRackley9. Instagram, I mean, Facebook is Rainier Rackley, RRackLEY. And my email is the same, RRackley9@gmail.com. So sound good. You need it, guys.
Sound good. So we also will attach the link to register for this. So parents, if you're watching and you're ready to register, I'll be uploading this tonight on all our social media and personal social media stuff. So then you can go ahead and register your child for this camp. Spots is limited. So go ahead now, because when we have our next podcast, I'll explain the breakdown, because once again, COVID is a real thing for a lot of us out here, even if there's some people don't want to believe it. And we want to make sure we follow the state guidelines on that to keep everybody safe, from the parents, from the coaches, and also to the players. So I do thank y'all for joining the First and Goal Showcase. And
thank y'all, man. Thank y'all.